The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the most dramatic podcast ever. An iHeartRadio podcast. Chris Harrison and Lauren Zima coming to you from the home office in Austin, Texas. We open up the playbook as we step back today in Bachelor lore. LZ, we got a comment from one of our listeners about a particular moment in Bachelor history. And this went viral the other day online, and it was actually really funny.
So I will give you a firsthand professional reenactment of this dramatic moment when I walked into the room to announce to the ladies that they would be traveling. And again, they're tired. They're ready to go. They know this announcement is coming. And I walk in and I say, ladies, it's time to pack up. The first stop on this amazing journey that will take us around the world. Now I'm going to pause for a second because now they're on the edge of their seats. They are anticipating the greatest announcement ever. Australia, Asia, Africa, Europe. Where are we going? That will take us around the world. We'll begin in a city full of art, culture, and rock and roll. Peter is going to meet you in Cleveland. And that is when the penny dropped.
I remember that. Crickets. That was Peter Weber, Pilot Pete season. And yeah, you were coming in to tell them, was it about their first trip?
That was the first trip. You know, it's time, you know, what, episode 3 or 4, whatever, when we would always leave. And, you know, it got so commonplace too that, you know, everybody knew when they were going and all that. And they were expecting.
You mean like people had watched the show and then they'd come on. So they knew, oh, he's going to come in and announce the trip now. Yeah. They knew the formula.
Yeah. So they, you know, that was the one. It's so funny because in the days and episodes leading up to that, when I go wake him up in the morning, and you really are waking him up early. We've been up previously the night before at the rose ceremony till probably a few hours before I come back in. And so everybody's really tired and, you know, the producers are trying to pump everybody up and everyone's bleary eyed. And, you know, we're like, hey, can y'all look, you know, somewhat alive? This is going to be on HDTV soon. And so that was, then you'd come in and they were actually excited because like, you know, you're going to go somewhere cool.
But this was to Cleveland, Ohio. No shade to Cleveland, Ohio, but it's not Bali.
Right. And so I got there that morning and, you know, typically we would work with the boards of tourism, chamber of commerce, wherever, you know, one of the governments around, you know, if you went to a different country and there were certain things that they would want said. And obviously our goal is to make it seem romantic and exciting and pump up the volume and all this. And I got there that morning and we're all really tired and we've been doing this for 20 years. It was just like, wah, wah, wah.
But like you had to know what the reaction to Cleveland was going to be.
100%. I was worried because I'm like, what? They're going to come at me like angry villagers. there were, you know, I was totally scared of what was about to happen. And because I knew it was just going to go off so dead. What they didn't show, I don't think, unless it was a blooper on that episode, but I did a fake take when I said we were going to Maui.
You faked them out?
Or Honolulu. I said something. I think I said, we're going to Hawaii. And they went nuts.
I said, so when you say fake take, you mean you lied to them at first.
And I said, I'm just kidding. We're going to Cleveland. They're like, what?
And so why did you tell them Hawaii?
Because I needed that reaction.
Oh, because you thought they'll put this reaction shot in later.
100%.
And we'll actually make it look like these women are cheering for Cleveland, Ohio.
Yes.
Had you guys done that before? Because that now feels familiar to me. I feel like there were other seasons where I watched, because Cleveland wasn't the first so-so destination.
Yes.
I could be wrong, but I feel like there were other seasons where I watched and that reaction, the reaction was big to an okay place. And I remember thinking, why are these women so excited for like Little Rock, Arkansas?
Yeah.
So had you done that before, faked them out?
I would say other things to get, I think what Deadwood, South Dakota was another one, which by the way, in, you know, here's the thing. Some of these locations were amazing, like Whitefish, Montana, Deadwood. I even liked going to Cleveland. Some of these other locations around the country, we would always kind of use the United States as the jumping point typically. And then you would go off overseas and it's just hard because they're so excited because you come in and you say, we're about to, you know, begin a journey that will literally take us around the world when it literally wasn't taking us.
Well,
around
also
the world.
Some cities just don't have that. Like if you say we're going to Miami, Florida, that right. has a little more recognizability yeah. than
New Orleans, Vegas,
right? Whitefish, Montana. I'd be like, I mean, I've seen Yellowstone. Is it cool? Is it like Yellowstone? So you did the fake take. They ended up airing the crickets, which was funny.
Yeah. I'm glad they you know, lean into it. And you know,
sometimes the show wouldn't lean into reality enough. Yeah. I was sitting watching going, like you just said, it's been on for 20 years. Like just lean into and welcome the reality of this reality show, because we all know, you know, you don't need to fake us out like as if they were excited about.
Well, and lean into the crickets because we're going to show Cleveland in a very good light, right? We're going to show the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and we get access to, and it, we did, we actually had a great time and I was there for a few days and hit some great restaurants and I love that area, but it's okay to lean into the joke and then go there and then show how great that city is.
Because then you're going upward.
Yeah,
you're on
exactly.
an upward journey.
Yeah. Don't, I mean, to have people screaming and yelling that they're going to Minneapolis or Cleveland or Dallas, like really? It's like, come on, we know we're not going to be all that excited compared to like Bora Bora. But you know, Peter's season, we went off and we'd ended up in some great places and had a great
what
trip.
Else did you ever have to fake reactions to the most? I think people have probably asked you about this a million times. I'm not sure I ever have, but people always wondered if the lead like remembered everyone during the rose ceremony, for example. I'm thinking of stuff like that. Did you have to reshoot somebody saying names or like, what did you guys have to reshoot or do a fake take of, even though it was a reality show?
One of the big things that we were always careful of, and we drew this line ourselves, is we would never, people always ask, did you write the names on the roses? Do they have an IFB, which is that little earpiece where the producer would tell you what to say? Or were there cue cards? Because how would they remember? We made them memorize the names in order. What they would do is they would choose the list of say 10, 15 women, whatever it is. Then you would have to memorize as many names as you could, however many Laurens and Kellys you could memorize, and then you would go out and say it. And then you would stop and leave the room. Producer, your handler would have the list, and you would go on.
So they'd memorize like three or four names at a time.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, and I don't know if people got dumber over the years, but it's funny. Like back in the day, they'd go three, four, five people in a row. Then it got to be like two people in a row.
I think the answer is people got.
It was really, dumber. I mean, really, it got bad sometimes. Like, we can't do three names.
Didn't Brad Womack, was he the one who once infamously said the wrong name when he went out there?
Well, the most famous
somebody
one
did
was
it.
Jesse Palmer.
Oh, maybe it was Jesse.
Jesse on night one looked at one girl and said the wrong name. And she came up and got a rose. And then he like froze and we left. And he's like, I said the wrong name. And then he went back out and was like, look, I didn't mean to give you a rose, but since you got it, do you want to stay? And the girl stayed. Like, I think if the girl had any kind of
hoofs about her, she would have been like, no, like I'm leaving. But she's like, I want to be on TV again, so I'm going to stay. But yeah, he's the one that infamously said the wrong name.
So then, so you guys chose to put it back on her. So you,
so we went back out. He goes, what do I do? And I'm like, well, say the right name from now on. And then go, cause he offered her, he's like, look, I, this is what happened. And it was the right thing to do, but he put it back on her. And then, but as far as reshooting stuff, the only time we, you know, every now and then, very rare, Ken Fuchs was our director. If for some reason we had a bad take or the lighting messed up or whatever, we would maybe have them say it again, but we would never change what happened.
Right.
Like if somebody did screw up and say the wrong name or what, we would not have fixed that. We would have shown that and then had to correct it with whatever.
Hey, Jesse, can you say that wrong name again? The lighting wasn't great.
Exactly.
It was a little dark, the shot. Okay.
And the only thing I ever had people do is, again, they would be so tired in the mornings when I would go in and set up dates and they were just dead. I mean, they were so, so tired or hungover or whatever. And producers would be like, hey, can y'all act like you care at all about what I'm saying?
I always used to advise people, even doing like hosting and stuff, you have to like be yourself, but add 10%. Like the camera, just being on camera, having a screen separating you from a person, you can't just be you. Like you want to be natural, but you can't just be you as if you're, you know, talking to your friend over coffee. Yeah. You need a little more energy at the table.
When as years went by, you would, you know, we got cheaper and cheaper, you would lose crews. And so we would often do what's called a clean read. And so they would shoot my stuff first without anybody in the room. And so usually there'd be like two or three producers sitting on the couch, making fun of me, trying to get me to laugh, goofing around. And I would read, you know, do it a couple different ways with a camera directly at me. And then they could only, you know, then that way you can use all the cameras to just shoot the women when we would do it for real and get the ladies' reactions. It took me a while to figure out my mom is more than just a mom. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood. Mary Beth, she is a force to be reckoned with. Successful career, many talents, a great friend group. I could go on and on about my mom. I love her dearly. Well, this Mother's Day, give mom her flowers. She deserves the best. That's why I'm sending Farm Fresh flowers from Bouqs. That's short for bouquets. And I got you 25% off your entire Bouqs purchase so you can send some too. Here's why I like Bouqs. Bouqs is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. Bouqs has also made it easy. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done. Mother's Day is May 12th, right around the corner. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now. And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, the wife, aunt, hey, even your grandma. Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code Chris for 25% off. That's Bouqs.com, promo code Chris. Bouqs.com and use promo code Chris.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You told me the other day they used to mess with you during the live shows too.
They would, yeah, because I would have an IFB during the live specials or doing the tell all those things. They, you know, and so they would prompt me on certain things and say, okay, next up, talk to Lauren or talk to Kelly or bring her up to the hot seat. But most of the time, they would be in my ear trying to get me to crack up, saying really inappropriate stuff.
When you're on live television.
When I'm on live TV. Yeah, we're on live TV, and they would be, you know, really inappropriate.
Okay.
I wish I could have had those recordings. That would have been great bloopers. They would often do it in very inopportune times with things were really emotional. Someone would be crying or it was like a really tense moment and they would try to crack me up.
And they're like, Chris, your zipper's down.
Yeah, exactly. Down, I was like, do you always drool like that? Have you always had a lazy eye? That's weird.
Like, Chris, you're really sweaty, just so you know, man. See if you can. No, you never sweat. Okay, getting back to the traveling thing a little bit to destinations such as Cleveland. I did not watch the show back in the original days, but you didn't always travel. Do you think that it made the show better or worse when you started traveling instead of just filming everything like at the mansion and locally? How do you think it affected the show overall?
Well, it made the show better, but it also made it cheaper. In a couple ways, because it was Charlie O'Connell.
So better and cheaper. That's a good combination.
Charlie O'Connell was the first one where we really traveled and then we stayed. We went to Aruba and the Board of Tourism in Aruba did a big payout and got us to stay there when it was down to three and then the finale. And that was the first time we'd ever done that. And it went unbelievably well. They were so excited. And then tragically, the Natalie Holloway case happened.
Oh, Natalie Holloway.
Yeah. And that happened right. And it was like, they had the high of our show and then that, and it was total disaster. So we felt bad, but that was the first time. And then from then on, it started getting bigger and bigger from these resorts and boards of tourism in these countries that were like, yeah, instead of buying a 60-second commercial that no one's going to watch, we're going to bring The Bachelor over and have a 2-hour high definition commercial to millions and millions. At the time it was tens of millions of people. So it was huge. So they would pay us to come over there and shoot. So it was cheaper and allowed us to, because look, the other thing is, why was the show better? Because after several years of being in LA, there's only so many times you can go wine tasting, only so many times you can get in a hot air balloon, go to the beach, go to Malibu. You know, there's just not that many locations. And so it got a little tired.
Well, as a viewer, it was nice because you sort of felt like you were traveling while watching the show. I mean, I like movies that are set in other locations for the same reason.
It's a little escapism. Bit
escapist. Yeah.
Yeah. And people would honestly, back in the day, it was done on such a high level. I don't know. I've heard it's not on this level now. And it was already waning when I was still on the show. We stopped staying at the nicest resorts.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really on a budget. And so we weren't showing you the best of these cities and we weren't going to the nicest places in the world. And so that age and era had stopped, but it was escapism. And these websites of these resorts and countries would crash after the episode aired. It was pretty amazing what the result would be.
How do you think it affected the relationships? Because here's where my mind goes, and I'm asking you because you just have the scope of, you were on it through all the different iterations. Like, on the one hand, I think travel is important in a relationship. You got to travel with somebody and see, how do we do together when we've missed our flight? And do we like to do the same things when we travel? But then on the other hand, you know, when you've just started dating, you're not typically going to Europe together. So, I mean, I guess it could make better TV. People get really swept up in it. How do you think it affected the actual relationship connections?
It didn't help because they're not traveling together. it's not a real situation where they're traveling together. The Bachelor does not fly with the Bachelorettes or vice versa. We keep the cast apart. So the lead will travel separately. So you're flying separately. So you don't get to see the angst of being late for a flight. Who lost the tickets? Oh my God, you packed 5 bags and I did a carry-on. And then you get to the resort and oh my gosh, this room's really small and the toilet is right there. So, you know, who goes to the bathroom and when, and do you go to the lobby and, you know, all those things, all the angst of traveling together, they're not doing that. They're not spending that kind of time together. So it's not that intimacy. They're only getting the time that we allow. And you're only seeing the best parts of that person because we want the Bachelor or Bachelorette to look great. So the only time they're seeing each other is when they're on a seaplane going to a private island that happens to be shaped like a heart and there's a lobster dinner waiting there.
So wow, I think I missed the episode with the heart-shaped island.
There was one once.
No, there wasn't.
I swear
to God. I thought you were joking.
No, there was one.
Okay.
So it's, you know, it's not, you know.
Well, it would have been funny if, like, I would still love for them to do this. Like, do a date like that one time, you know? It's just like going to Cleveland, you know, put them through a rough and tumble travel situation together.
You have an hour to get to the airport.
Like the Amazing Race meets The Bachelor.
Totally.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's the best of travel without the worst of travel. And so, you know, as you, I agree, you got to really travel with someone intimately to know someone.
And that's why you and I went to Cleveland together.
That's why we did.
Okay. Well, that was a fun little trip down memory lane and a little insight into how the behind the scenes of some of those big reality TV moments work. Thank you guys for joining us for another episode of The Playbook here on the Most Dramatic Podcast Ever. We love you. We appreciate you. And we'll talk to you next time because as always, we have a lot more to talk about.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at The Most Dramatic Pod Ever. And make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. I'll talk to you next time.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.